and welcome to The Signal. I'm Shazara Khan.
And I'm Andrew Lam. We're with the audio workshop at the University of King's College School of Journalism.
Today on the show, transit worker frustration.
Imagine signing up for a 40-hour-a-week job. You lose your weekends, you lose your nights off.
I'll tell you about working conditions at Halifax Transit.
Something new if you like to work out on campus.
Today we put out a brand new set of 5 pounds all the way up to 50 pounds dumbbells.
We'll find out about an upgrade at the fitness hall at Delplex.
And Halloween may be over, but witches abound.
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog too.
I visited a Halifax witch, and I'll bring you that story.
All that and more on today's show. But first, low pay, overwork, toxic working conditions. The union representing Halifax Transit operators says these are the reasons the city is struggling to keep staff and provide service. Staffing shortages at Halifax Transit are making it harder for people in Halifax to travel by bus and ferry. 60 bus trips have been cancelled indefinitely since September 6th. Weekday trips on the Alderney Ferry were at a 15-minute frequency. Now it is every half hour after 2 p.m. The Signal took to the streets and the sea to find out how people are being impacted.
The scheduling is like a little bit all over the place, so sometimes there's not going to be a ferry or a bus, and sometimes there is.
It's definitely a deterrent, so I think that if they kept the more regular crossings, they would see much more people use of transit.
It can get you most places in the city, but it is oftentimes brutally slow.
HRM spokesperson Maggie Jane Spray says the city is working to fix the situation.
We've been working hard to recruit and train new bus operators as well as new ferry operators with the aim of getting operators onto the road or onto the ferry and returning service as quickly as possible. We have done more classes in this past few months than we typically would have in a standard calendar year.
Union President Shane O'Leary says the efforts are not enough.
We're losing probably 40 to 50% of new hires, plus the regular attrition due to retirements and a lot of early retirements, people going just, I've had enough, and leaving, and people just resigning.
The reason for the resignations?
Our members are overworked, and they believe that they're in a toxic work environment.
In 2021, the city expected to spend $2.1 million more in overtime salary for Halifax Transit than the previous year. Meanwhile, the ferry division has fewer than 40 employees, but O'Leary says it clocked nearly 10,000 overtime hours from January to June.
With the current staffing shortage, that has caused a significant increase in overtime, and it's certainly a concern for Halifax Transit. We very much appreciate the effort of our staff.
Because of the workload, frontline workers are finding the job challenging.
Imagine signing up for a 40-hour-a-week job. You lose your weekends, you lose your nights off. You don't get vacations, you're doing the worst work for the lowest pay.
Halifax Transit operators have also not had a raise in over 2 years. That is because the union has not had a contract since August 2021. Paul Mueller, an enthusiastic supporter of public transportation, sympathizes with the transit workers.
That's just outrageous, right? So that needs to be addressed. I think that needs a higher priority.
The starting wage for bus operators is just under $23 an hour. This is below the Halifax living wage of $23.50, calculated by the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives.
Gym goers, listen up. There are new changes at Dalplex that might affect your workout. Connor McDowell reports.
Gym-goers at Dalhousie University are in for a surprise. Dalplex staff added some new workout equipment to Fitness Hall. David Clemenson is the fitness coordinator.
We see what's most popular, what people use the most, and then if we can, just add extra of them.
He says there's a new hack squat machine, extra rowing machines, a leg press, benches, and a brand new set of dumbbells. Staff also cleaned Fitness Hall. Clemenson says some pieces were removed, such as manually powered treadmills and two cardio bikes. The changes took place on Dalplex's top floor Wednesday morning. Chris Keough is Associate Director of Facilities and Operations. He says Dalplex staff chose the new equipment after analyzing industry trends, listening to community feedback, and keeping track of what people use.
Like, now we're seeing a bit of a shift away from cardio equipment, more onto free weight training or strength training. So there's less and less use of our cardio, and not by leaps and bounds, but it's on a steady decline.
And Clemenson says fitness trends can be hard to keep up with. The new equipment was ordered last December. Now the gym needs more platforms, which are used for strength training exercises, such as deadlifts.
And that's, again, off of user feedback. If you come in here from 5 until 8 p.m., those platforms are being used the entire time.
Clemenson says he's hoping to add two more within a year, and he also has his eye on a completely new piece of equipment.
One of the things that we don't have here is like a proper stretching station. It's a bigger piece of equipment, but ultimately you can stretch every single muscle in your body. So when I say this, like, that's something I would love to have.
Meanwhile, Keough says there was a near 30% traffic increase at Dalplex in September compared with pre-pandemic levels. Clemenson says more than 22,000 people are members at Dalplex and that upwards of 15,000 checked in last week. For The Signal, I'm Connor McDowell.
You're listening to The Signal on CKDU 88.1 FM in Halifax. You can also hear us on SoundCloud. Just search King's Radio Room.
We're bringing you stories from the audio workshop at the University of King's College School of Journalism. I'm Andrew Lamb. You can follow us on Twitter at SignalHFX.
And I'm Shazara Khan. The Canadian Federation of Students met in Ottawa this week. We'll have a report on what went down.
Shazara is going to introduce you to a Halifax witch who says all those movie witches are way off the mark.
And also, did you ever dream of being in a band making some great rock and roll?
Being in a band was always my goal. It's just a matter of when I was able to pull the forces around me together to get it done, right?
We'll meet Elliot's Rose, making their dream come true.
Student leaders from across the country gathered this week in Ottawa for a national meeting organized by the Canadian Federation of Students. This is the first in-person national meeting since the start of the pandemic. During this four-day conference, students elected representatives, including from many diverse groups. And they talked about issues affecting students at campuses across the country. Natalia Dola was there as the international student representative. She's also a reporter with The Signal, and she's here to tell us about the meeting. Natalia, I understand religion came under debate. Could you tell us more about that?
Absolutely. One of the key discussion points was around freedom of religion on campuses. Mount St. Vincent University Student Union brought this motion forward in the wake of their ongoing struggles with a university society called InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. I spoke with Katharina Allen from Mount St. Vincent University. She explained to me the situation in her campus that has led her union to move this much-debated motion with the help of CFS executive.
At our local, we've been having some trouble with religious organizations running societies on our campus, like the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship. And they proselytize on our campus, and they do so in some deceitful ways. So they'll, you know, hold a really fun event, but they don't advertise that there's going to be a Bible study in front of the event, things like that. So we wanted to bring a motion forward that amended the religious freedom issues policy for CFS to show that, you know, you can't proselytize in deceitful ways on a campus, and your right to religious freedom doesn't extend to infringing on the rights of others. A university space is supposed to be a space where people are able to freely think and practice their religious beliefs or their faith system.
The Mount St. Vincent University Student Union demanded that the society is upfront about the religious aspects in all of their events, going as far as to refusing to ratify the society in face of their lack of transparency, therefore banning their ability to organize in this campus.
And where do the other delegates stand on this matter, Natalia?
Well, this sparked many emotional conversations about Islamophobia, multicultural spaces, and traumatic experiences with religion. Bethany Rachel Joy Jacobs from Memorial University spoke to me about how extreme right-wing groups made the conversation regarding religious freedom an opportunity to forbid students from practicing minority religions in campus.
A lot of right-wing movements are very passionate about individualistic rights, and therefore they put their rights above other people when it comes to religious freedoms. A lot of right-wing Christian movements don't understand what oppression is in religion. So anything that's on the surface of regulating the way they practice, they receive it as oppression or violence. And they receive it as oppression and violence in a way that they perpetrate violence against other minority groups as a response.
So, other than you, who else was representing the University of King's College?
Yeah, we had a couple of more representatives. For example, Victoria Gibbs, the Kingston Union president, she was also there. She told me how this motion would actually directly impact King's. Many events in this university are actually directly linked to religion without informing students.
I think it's important because we do have a campus that partakes in... We have a church on campus. We have students who are religious. That being said, when it comes to a lot of the chapel things, students know what they're getting into. They know that it's going to be a religious space, and students deserve to know when they go into a space if religion is going to be an aspect of it. However, King's also has work to do in regards to that, because if you've ever gone to formal meal or if you've ever been to the graduation ceremony has, I believe, three different Latin prayers, and some people are comfortable with that regardless of their religion, and they take that as a personal time to reflect, but not everyone is aware that that's going to take place, and they can be taken aback by that. And I don't think that having traditionally Christian prayers brought into a space like King's in their graduation ceremonies, where we're supposed to be a non-denominational school, creates a safe space for everybody, especially because we are not always aware going in. Students do not always expect that to happen.
This is a conversation that is still being debated, and soon leaders will continue bringing the issue back to campuses to hear more.
Well, thanks, Natalia, for telling us about this. Natalia Tola is a member of the Canadian Federation of Students and a reporter for The Signal.
Halloween might be over, but witches in Halifax haven't disappeared. Once the pumpkins and ghosts are gone, witches are still following their usual practices. I talked to some people about what those practices are and how they're reflected in today's culture.
I'll get you, my pretty, and your little dog, too!
That's what some people think when they hear the word witch. The Wicked Witch of the West from The Wizard of Oz. Or maybe Hermione Granger from Harry Potter.
It's Leviosa, not Leviosa.
How about Winifred Sanderson from Hocus Pocus?
I have put a spell on you, and now you're gone.
But these are fictional witches. Reality is pretty different. Pamela McGinnis calls herself a witch. She's the owner of the Neighborhood Witch General Store on Queen Street in Halifax. She says witchcraft is all about interacting with the natural world.
I believe that it's manipulating and controlling energies to get a desired effect. Like the power of manifestation, working with the elements, recognizing the seasons and the natural cycles of the planet that we live on.
McGinnis says there's a wide spectrum of beliefs.
But witchcraft itself is the practice, not a religion. A way of self-help or helping others through more spiritual means.
Aruga, saruga, come winds of the Caspian.
Books and movies like The Little Mermaid dramatize witches. McGinnis says some shows, such as The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, even use offensive stereotypes.
they're kind of blasphemous to us because they use the names of our gods and they bastardize them and make them evil. It's through a Christian lens. They're saying that all witches signed some sort of book with the Dark Lord.
That was at the heart of the Salem witch trials, where 20 women were executed for practicing witchcraft in the late 17th century. Dr. Lindsay McCumber is a professor who teaches at St. Mary's University and Dalhousie University. She studies how witches are portrayed in religion, politics, and popular culture.
These aspects of women's bodies that, if you go back to goddess worship culture, would have been understood as potential sources of power or even divinity. So like women's ability to procreate and sexual desire and menstruation become constructed in the film as monstrous.
Dr. McCumber says the demonization of witches comes from the patriarchy's fear of powerful feminine figures.
What were these women actually doing versus what they were accused of? But the accusations of these women becomes a way to demonize otherness, demonize community, demonize opposition to patriarchal norms and structures all at once.
Reverend Robin Brown Hewitt is the campus minister at Dalhousie University and the coordinator of the university's spiritual support team. She says Christian traditions come from natural practices also observed by witches.
Christmas is around the same time as the winter solstice, and we wanted to put the emphasis on the fact that Jesus came into the world to be the light of the world. Our first sense of connection to each other was through the connection to the earth and the seasons.
Schools of theology have varying views on witchcraft. Some recognize it as a faith, while others don't. Brown Hewitt says regardless of origin, all traditions have one thing in common.
If you look at the heart of all of the traditions, you would be able to find a central value of compassion and care for self.
McGinnis says that's a very natural thing for all humans, witch or not.
If you popped by Monty's Bar and Grill in Dartmouth last night, you may have heard some new material from Elliot's Rose. They're one of dozens of amateur bands that showcase their songs at open mic nights across Halifax. And since COVID restrictions lifted, more musicians are excited to take advantage of the live music scene. Sabine Antigua caught up with the members of Elliot's Rose during one of their rehearsals.
It's 8 p.m. on a Tuesday in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia. While most neighbors are winding down for the night, some are just getting warmed up. Elliot's Rose is a local music group comprised of vocalist Natasha Tucker, drummer Joel Richards, and guitarist Scott Macbeth. They meet twice a week to rehearse in Joel's garage. Joel says that's really where it all started.
Being in a band was always my goal. It's just a matter of when I was able to pull the forces around me together to get it done, right? And I took a picture of the garage. It was a mess. And I posted it on Kijiji and I said, anyone want to jam in my crappy garage?
Someone did want to jam with Joel, and that was Scott, a guitarist and composer who'd recently moved to Halifax with his family.
If I'm picking up the guitar, I don't want to learn anybody else's music. I want to try and write. So that's where I was. I couldn't wait to get back into it.
Eventually, the music led them to search for a vocalist. That's where Natasha came in.
I like to do things that scare me a little bit. So I look at, what am I terrified of? Let's do that.
Natasha had never performed before.
My husband had no idea this was happening. He's like, you sing? I was like, I guess. And he's like, really?
I don't know. Well, a couple people that came through here and they just couldn't get the timing.
We were ready to work with you where you needed to be worked with. It's just you were way above where we were prepared to work with.
Yeah.
Guitar, drums, vocals. It's all coming together. All they need now is a bassist.
If there's any sense of urgency to find a bass player, it's so that we can,
complete
in a way that we can actually start like doing gigs outside of open mics and have a more complete sound.
I want a bass player that I lock with. When there's notes we're supposed to be playing together, me and that bass player need to be in sync.
Now that COVID restrictions have lifted, Elliot Rose has been looking to do more in the live music scene.
Some festivals in the summer would be awesome, like Riverfest. There's a couple others around too that would be really, really fun to play.
People are just looking to be entertained. They just want to hear songs that they already know sometimes. But what's neat about, I think, Halifax is there is an audience for fresh new sound.
And they hope their sound will resonate with audiences.
That's Elliot's Rose. If you're lucky, you can catch them on Thursday open mic nights at Monty's Bar and Grill, Dartmouth.
That's our show for today. If there's anything you want to hear again, we post links to our stories on Twitter. Our handle is @SignalHFX.
Our producer is Connor McDowell, and our social media producer is Natalia Tola.
A shout out to our technician, Mark Pinio, in the control room.
Our audio professor is Pauline Dakin. I'm Shazara Khan.
And I'm Andrew Lan. We'll be back next week with more stories. Have a great weekend.